have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for those meddling devil's advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Happy, happy hour to us all. You can join us on the phones at 844-967-2789. Let's get to them now. They're stacking up. We'll start with Joe from Madison, Wisconsin. Welcome, Joe. What do you got for us today?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, guys. It's so hard to keep up, and I'll just take one comment that was said by our dear legislator, our dear senator, Mr. Johnson, that was detailed in the last hour. If people want to hear more about it, they could certainly hit the podcast. But our senator described, was quoted in the Wall Street Journal as saying that, as I understand it, that abortion is messy, but it won't be that big of a change. Now, it's important to understand that this guy is so ignorant, so out of touch, that on your show, he did not seem to realize or understand that the legal drinking age had changed. I mean, you have that clip. And, you know, this had been in place for, what, decades? And our senator was not aware of it. So he's saying that it won't be that big of a change because women can go down to Illinois. And in the same week, Mitch McConnell is saying, yeah, national ban on abortion might be possible. So which is it? Okay, not a big change. You can just hot foot down to Illinois, or nope, we're working on making a national ban.
Joe, you absolutely know that Rojo would vote for that national ban. When it comes to the Senate floor, should, God forbid, the Senate, you know, come back to the control of Mitch McConnell, and if they thought they had a Donald Trump or a Ron DeSantis that would sign it and that McConnell thought he had the votes, he would advance that legislation, and I'd be willing to bet Dom's firstborn that Rojo would vote for it.
Absolutely. And this is just the start, folks. This is just the start, because what was torn apart when that memo was released is the idea that you have a right to privacy, non-enumerated in the Constitution, but yet the justices, as we advanced through the decades, said, gee, married people have the right to have contraception. Gee, unmarried people have the right to have contraception. Gee, you have a right to an abortion. Gee, you have a right to have same-sex marriage. What falls apart when you say there's no right to privacy anymore? A heck of a lot that people
are
used
to. Yeah, but
Joe, and I would not.
Gas prices are up. The Bucks are in the playoffs. There's all these distractions. Well, you heard me ask the question.
Right.
I think you were listening. You heard me ask the question. Does this actually galvanize? Does this wake up the Democrats, the left, women? Do people react to this? Not just the very activist left, because we're fired up. You know, we're going to go vote no matter what. And the pro-life, let's call them pro-birther right, well, they were already fired up as well. They were going to vote for theirs in the midterms. But what about the center, Joe, the independents, the late adopters, those that make up their mind at the ballot box? What do you think those people are going to do? Are they going to wake up?
I don't know, and it depends on how much comes out in the ensuing months prior to the election. There was a great article out of NPR today that was looking at what the result was for women who had undergone miscarriages in Texas since that rigid, draconian abortion a law came into effect, and it is affecting all the way from pharmacists, emergency room doctors, regular physicians, and women who go in and experience a miscarriage, because drugs are often used to expel that miscarriage. And if it doesn't happen, those women get sick. They get sepsis. They do not do well, and doctors are spooked about what they can be prescribing.
Effectively, that's been on the books since Greg Abbott signed it, and the Supreme Court refused to stay it. And if you heard me talk about the polling out of Texas right now, you know, we've got Beto O'Rourke, who's half a Kennedy without the philandering accusations. I mean, I've met the guy. He is a pretty damn compelling candidate. As a gubernatorial level candidate, I mean, the guy ran for president. He's pretty damn strong, and he's trailing Abbott greatly in the polls. And people have had the time to react to this news in Texas. They're under a 6-week abortion ban, and Abbott's way out in the lead. How do you explain that? How do you explain it, Joe? It's depressing.
I think I explained it by the fact that it is depressing, and I sure hope that things change. And that isn't enough to, you know, to float the boat for anybody, but boy, I sure hope that things change. And maybe more stories have to come out, maybe more time has to pass, I don't know, or boy, some bleak times are ahead, and I surely hope that that's not the case for women in Wisconsin and across this country.
Joe,
and their families.
Sorry to keep interrupting, Joe. I don't mean to be rude, but does it affect your vote at all? Let's say in the primaries, when you look at the U.S. senatorial field, and you know it's so important to beat Ron Johnson. I mean, this is one of the two possible Democratic pickups in the U.S. Senate. And two more votes, you could have thrown out the filibuster and codified Roe v. Wade today. And instead, you lost 49-51 because Joe Manchin. Well, if you got rid of Ron Johnson, he was a no vote. And, you know, let's hope for Portman in Ohio, but we control what's happening here. Joe, does this news, does it propel you towards Sarah Godlewski or Mandela or Lasry or, you know, what's your emotional or pragmatic reaction?
It's both, isn't it? It's emotional and pragmatic. And I think that, you know, as the campaigns roll out, this information is a week old, and as people are continuing to respond to it and as the public is becoming more aware of it, it has to be front and center for the women and their families in this state. It's not just women, it's their families. People are so affected by this. I mean, it matters, and I sure hope that people are considering it when they look ahead. I know I will be.
Joe, really appreciate your call. I know my 27-year-old daughter, And you know, she's political in that she knows election day is coming. She'll call me or she'll call our pal L.A. Tom. Who should I vote for, right? I mean, she's that sort of political. Like, Team Blue, but, you know, give me...
But who?
Coach, who should I vote for in the primary? She told some very honest and personal stories about her own reproductive health and stuff that I never would have expected from my daughter. And she put it out there on social media, which... also unexpected. But she, as a 27-year-old, you know, strongly feels these things because this is her life. And I know my wife feels it, but I wonder, what about the broad electorate, the independents, if you will, those that are beyond childbearing years or, you know, don't feel like they have a dog in that fight? Come back, more Devils.
I've never really felt it was society's responsibility to take care of other people's children.
It's no big deal.